I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Remember this?
That former Russian spy and his daughter remain in critical condition at an English hospital after being struck down Sunday by what authorities now believe was some kind of poison. But investigators remain baffled, and some top British officials are now pointing the finger right at Vladimir Putin.
That's an ABC News report from March after Sergei and Yulia Skripal were found unconscious on a park bench in Salisbury, England. They were poisoned by a deadly nerve agent developed in the Soviet Union called Novichok. The Skripals survived, but it sparked a diplomatic shakeup with Russia. Fast forward to this week. British police say they have two suspects in the case, and they have names. Prime Minister Theresa May told Parliament today that the men work for Russia's top military intelligence agency, and May said the orders for the assassination attempt came from senior levels of the Russian state. For the latest, I spoke with my BBC colleague Frank Gardner from London.
The British police have done an absolutely forensic, blow-by-blow trail of exactly what their movements were. They know that they arrived, for example, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon of Friday, March the 2nd. They know the hotel they stayed at in the east of London. In their hotel room, they found traces of Novichok. They went on what the British police believe was a reconnaissance to the town of Salisbury in southern England on the following day, on Saturday. They took a train there. The next day, they came back, and in what British police and the British government say was the planned attempted murder of Sergei Skripal, the former Russian agent. They then took a train back to London, and by midnight that night, they were on an Aeroflot flight back to Moscow.
Wow, a really detailed chronology of their activities. The British government seems convinced that these two men work for Russian intelligence. What is the evidence?
Well, here is the tricky part, because the police have done a very forensic analysis of exactly what their movements were. The espionage, the intelligence side of this, is a little bit more murky, as you'd expect. Now, Theresa May, Britain's Prime Minister, stood up in Parliament today, and it caused gasps of astonishment, this, that she was so outright in saying these men were officers in the GRU, that's Russian military intelligence.
But it will be hard, it sounds like, for the British government to make a solid case against the GRU.
I think it will be hard. And the one thing that, of course, is missing in this, which actually nobody here seems to be talking about, is the what I would call the metaphorical smoking gun. There is no CCTV footage or photographs of these men spraying this stuff. Now, I can almost hear British government officials saying, oh, come on, you're being naive. OK, but that smoking gun isn't quite there yet. Russia has mounted an extensive information campaign, some would say a disinformation campaign. Ever since this happened, they've come up with over 20 different theories as to how this could have happened. Sergei Skripal was a black marketeer trading in chemical weapons. Theresa May did it herself. I mean, all sorts of, you know, outlandish theories.
Yeah.
I think they've got themselves into a bit of a corner here, because whereas with the assassination of Alexander Litvinenko in 2006 using polonium poisoning, that was done on the streets of London. They said, OK, these two people who you accuse of it, they exist, but you're not having them. One of them is now an MP in Russia, and the other is doing something else in Russia. In this case, today, they're saying, we'd never heard of these people. These names mean nothing to us. Well, of course they mean nothing to them, because they're aliases.
So British police say there's enough evidence to charge the men, but they're still asking the public for information. What more do they need?
I think if they can piece together any more bits of the jigsaw, you know, they can't account for every single minute of these people's time. Did they have accomplices, most importantly? And a really important thing, is there any more of this stuff stashed away? It's believed that this stuff was brought in, disguised as a perfume bottle, into the country, but they dumped it. They didn't take the residue away with them. They dumped it in a park in southern England.
What about extradition? I mean, these two men are in Russia. It's hard to imagine Russia would do that, but would they? Do they ever?
Under this Russian government, absolutely no chance. The Russian constitution does not allow for suspects to be extradited for trial elsewhere. Interestingly, Britain's Crown Prosecution Service, the equivalent of, I suppose, similar to the Attorney General in the States, they have said, we're not even going to bother asking Russia for extradition because we did it over Litvinenko and you didn't produce the two suspects. Now, Russia says, we're nothing to do with this, and we'd like to be a part of the investigation. British government has said you've got to be joking.
With Theresa May's really forceful statement about connecting the poisonings to the highest levels of the Russian state, what will the British government do in response now?
I think their way ahead now really is diplomatic, and it's a very difficult one. They've done all the punitive measures they can do directly. They've expelled quite a large number, over 30 Russian diplomats and spies, including people who they think Russia didn't even know that British intelligence knew were spies, if you see what I mean, people who were deep cover agents. That bit's already been done. The task for the British government now, and this is difficult against the backdrop of Brexit, of Britain leaving the European Union, is to persuade its partners in Europe to freeze out Russia. That's not going to be easy because you've got various governments wanting to get closer to Russia. Russia provides a lot of energy, a lot of gas to Europe. And ultimately, there are plenty of countries in Europe that would wish this whole nasty business would go away. Now, the US ambassador has already tweeted that the US stands shoulder to shoulder with Britain on this. I'm still be very interested to see if that statement will be echoed from the White House.
That's my BBC colleague, Frank Gardner, speaking with us from London. Thanks very much, Frank.
Thank you. Cheers, Marco.